Good to be here. God has been good. Brought us safely here this weekend. I would like to preach this evening on leadership that brings stability. We need stability in our congregations. We need stability in our families. We need stability in our schools. And I want to talk about that tonight. Usually when we think of leadership, we think of the front bench church. And it might be that that is very important, but it's also very important to have stability, leadership that brings stability in our homes and schools and so forth. And tonight, if you're a school teacher, you're a school board member, you're a father, you're a preacher, you're involved in leadership in some way. When I was a young boy, I remember one time I hooked up the sprayer and everything was okay, but I was missing one thing, and I was missing the pin. It goes down and hooks it up. And so I thought, well, that's simple to take care of. I'll just hook everything else up, the PTO, the hydraulic hoses, and all the hoses for the pump and everything, and I'll go find a pin. Yeah, well, you know how it goes. I forgot, for some reason, I forgot. And didn't get the pin there, and somebody else came and saw that everything was hooked up, ready to go, and they took off. And the pin wasn't there, and so everything came apart. The hoses were spread all over the place and pulled apart, and you know what happens with that. Hydraulic hoses were broke and so forth like that. That's the way it is when we don't have leadership. Take off without a pin. It's about that dramatic. And so I'm looking tonight at a very practical subject, and I would like you to go along with me and talk about this very important subject. I would say that I see leadership as probably the most important subject in conservative church life. Next to the subject we talked about this morning, that of having the Holy Spirit direct us and truly being regenerated and born again. As I see leadership, it is very, very instrumental and important in producing flocks, children, people that are stable Christians. I would like to turn to a very well-known passage of Scripture again, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. The first four verses deals directly with church leadership. Then after that, he gives us some general principles about church life that I think are good to talk about, and we want to talk about just some of them this evening. Get our points from all over this chapter. 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after they have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. I believe we'll stop reading there. First point in the message, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. It's worthy of a lot of time, but it's a leader must have vision. You must have vision. You need to clearly understand where you're going and be able to communicate that vision to those that follow you. It's very important. Where are you going? How are we going to get there? That is a question that we must answer if we're a leader. And I find it very important that we understand that we must have vision. We must be able to see the end. We must be able to see what the pitfalls. We must be able to see the danger. We must have vision. And where are you going? And how are we going to get there? We see as verse 4, it talks about that. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Vision is clearly in this passage of Scripture. And it's important that you have vision as you lead your families and as you lead your church or you lead your school board or whatever. It's very important. Second point, feed the flock. Feed the flock. You know, feeding the flock seems like a simple thing to do. But feeding the flock is not just feeding, just putting feed out there. Feeding the flock is you're worried about the environment. You're concerned about the environment of your flock. You're concerned about the metabolism, the nutrition of your flock. And, metabolism is the process by which we change energy and protein into food. And in a spiritual way, you're concerned about feeding the flock. And that your flock's ration is balanced, you might say, your nutritionist, and also your environment. The best preaching, the best teaching in the world doesn't do any good unless the environment is right. I think that's just so important. You know, you can teach your children. You can spend all kinds of time telling them about which way you want to go and about what they should do. But it is to no avail unless the environment is right. And the spiritual environment for sure is what we're talking about tonight. We're not talking about physical things. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Verse 2. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. So the health of the flock. Brethren, it's up to you. It's up to you. Now, I'm not going to leave the sisters behind. You can listen in. But I'm going to preach mostly to the brethren tonight. The health of the flock is up to you. Where your children and your wife and the people that follow you end up is largely because of what you did. And I see that. You know, it's not hard for me to see that as we are involved in church administration. And it makes me very humble because, you know, it makes me very, very concerned because I realize that my position is puts me up front. And, you know, it's in a sense, it's hard to take. You know, for years, I was school board chairman at Mount Joy before I was ordained. And, you know, in Ohio, we probably don't have as much snow as you do up here in New York. But we have snows once in a while. And, you know, we get out in the morning and there's 6 inches of snow on the ground. And about 6 o'clock, you start thinking, you know, should I call off school today? And you people that are brethren that are board chairmen know what goes on. You get in the pickup and you drive up and down the road and you go down to the school and you drive in the parking lot and there's a lot of snow there. But all the while you're thinking, should we call off school or shouldn't we? You know, should we? Well, yeah, you think about brother so-and-so that says, if you call off school today, you're a wimp. Yeah, you know better than that. You're a wimp. Everybody should have school. Back in the old days, they had school on a day like this. And then the other brother on the board says, hey, if a mother slips in the ditch on the way to school with five little children in that school, he said, you know, it's your problem. You caused the problem. And therefore, you get serious about this and you call the other board members and they say, well, yeah, we had a lot of snow this morning. And, what should we do? Should we have school or not? Well, I don't know. It's either way. But really, Joe, it's up to you. It's up to you. So you call the other school board member and you say, should we have school today? And, well, maybe we could. You know, we could be an hour late or, you know, we can, but really, it's up to you. So you're lonely. Leadership is a very lonely place to be. Because you need to make the call. You need to make the call. So in reality, it's up to you. I want to tell you, brethren, it's up to you. Get serious about life. Get serious about your leadership. Because it's ultimately up to you. Your flock. Feed the flock of God. Involves a lot of things. It's not just dumping feed out there. It's not just building the fence. It's not just about environment. But feed the flock of God is to discern the flock. Each sheep in that flock is an individual. And that individual is what you feed. You have sheep that like to challenge the fences. You have sheep that are sick. You have sheep that all the time getting sick. And you have to give them shots. You have to be very careful about the individual sheep. Everybody knows that that's involved in any kind of biology and in caring for animals, that it's the individual that you take care of. So when you're feeding the flock, you're taking care of individuals. And when you're on the school board or you're the church leader, you're interested in individuals because it's individuals that make up the flock. And I think it's very important that we understand this as leaders, that it's individuals that we lead. Feed the flock. Feed the flock. You know, there's all kinds of ideas about how things should move ahead. And, you know, we can, you know, you get in a school board meeting and you know, hey, let's do this. And let's go here for the field trip. And no, the other ones say, let's go there for the field trip. And but, you know, but ultimately it's up to you. Where are we going for the field trip? You decide. Vote and decide. And, you know, it's very important that you give direction, that you feed this flock. You realize there's individuals on the school board. You need to give fair and honest hearing. And then make a decision. Thirdly, it says in verse 5, he says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. So important. Be clothed with humility. I looked that up, and it said that to be clothed with humility and be humble like this is to be a bowed down man. Be bowed down. You're willing to cast your care on God. The bowed down man will live for the benefit of the flock. You will be humble. You are keenly aware that each child of yours will make a decision of whom he is going to serve. And all church leaders know that. The church members will do that. People that join the church. That means that we're going to conduct our lives in God's way with His requirements for our life first. On top of that, a man that is humble, a bowed down man, will be at home. We'll be at home. I'll tell you, brother, you need to understand this very important point. It was only yesterday when I had two little blonde-haired boys that followed me everywhere I went. It seemed like only yesterday, and for a minute, it seems like a few days ago. And now they're men with 3 and 5 children of their own, and they're up there leading their own flock. Gone thousands of miles away, one of them is from where I live. And it's only a moment that you have this flock. You must take the time to feed the flock and be at home. And I talked a little about that this morning. But brethren, hear me. You can't feed the flock if you're 1,000 miles away. Your family must be your priority. Your family must be your priority. We used to, as Mennonites, we used to talk a lot about over-the-road trucking. I still think that is something to avoid. But there are a lot of things that take us from our flock. You must be there to feed the flock. A bowed down man is a living demonstration of trust in God's providence and keeping. And I had a father that he wasn't perfect by any means, but he was a bowed down man. He was humble. And I remember many mornings, we always had our family devotions in the morning. And by the way, we had family devotions, I think it was probably out of a 365-day year, we probably had them 360 days. I suppose it would be something like that. But I heard my father pray. And he would pray for God to help him provide for his family. You know, and I thought, well, you know, he wasn't necessarily all that poor and all that, but he realized this, that God was giving him his daily bread, and that he was willing to pray that God would do that. And it left a lasting impression on us children that really, God is the one that provides. It's not us. You need to be willing to, you know, praise God for the small things. Lead your flock in thanking God. Another thing, you know, there's just a number of things we could talk about, but you as a leader will make mistakes. Get used to it. You're going to make mistakes. What do you do about those mistakes you make? You know what you should do about them? Admit them. Admit them. And confess them. Admit your mistakes. It's going to go a long ways in your flock being healthy flock. And those, these are serious principles, and you know they might be ones that you heard before and all that, but I think it's just so important that leaders are willing to admit their mistakes. Hey, you're just a common guy. That's, you know, I'm just an average Joe. And I think it's so important that we admit our mistakes. It's vitally important. Are you willing to give others the benefit of the doubt? Willing to give others the benefit of the doubt. There was a man that lived in our community in Ohio. He was a very successful businessman. And he pushed himself to be a good man, good businessman. But he had a lot of problems, emotional problems. And he would, he was in and out of the treatment centers. And my father was good friends with him. And he said to him one day, he said, you know, we got talking about his sickness, his mental sickness, and he said, you know what? He said, I lived all my life to please my dad. His dad was a perfectionist, and he demanded the best. And he felt he never, never could live up to his dad's expectations. Give your flock compliments. Tell them you appreciate them. A father that is willing to accept a good try as the best the child can do is going to build confidence in his flock, in his son. Today we live in a society that 43% of Americans take mind and mood altering drugs. 43%, almost one in every two people. And I'm not going to say that is all wrong, but I'm going to say this, that if leadership would reaffirm the flock, there would be a lot less of that needed. In a recent year, 7 and 8 on the medication list of all prescription drugs were mood-altering drugs, mood-controlling drugs. Now, I would like to throw out this as a principle that found in Proverbs 12:25. I think it's so important. It says this simply, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. You have a heavy heart, you feel you're just stooped over. But it says then, it finishes it, that sentence, that verse, and it says, but a good word maketh it glad. A leader compliments his people. Number four, is be a vigilant. Verse 5, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. How many of you sisters would let your children outside tonight if they saw a cougar run across the road? You saw a big yellow cougar with a long tail and slinking across the road. How many would you let your children outside? You wouldn't let your children outside. You would keep them safely in there, and you'd probably lock the door. You'd probably ask some big man to stand by the door back there, like Nelson or something, to keep the cougar out. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. And he's looking and he's sizing up everybody to see who he can catch. He can catch. He'll take that paw and just draw you in and crush your skull as soon as he can. There are people in town, in a lot of their cities, that are called vigilantes. They're people that stay awake all the time and patrol the neighborhood. Stay awake. Vigilant means stay awake. We have worldliness, materialism, sports, what have you, and it all comes to us via this smartphone. The internet pours into our lives things that are that we should be vigilant about. I would say that it's the roaring lion. And we, you know, we've made provisions that we can use the smartphone, but God help us to use it wisely. God help us to be vigilant leaders to feed the flock. Fifthly, taking the oversight thereof. Wear the badge is what I heard today. Handle the gavel is what somebody else said. You know, a gavel is what a judge has a gavel, it's a wooden hammer. When he calls the court to order, he hits on the desk. And he said, order in the court. You listen to me, is what he's saying. A gavel was a symbol of authority and right to act officially in the capacity of a presiding officer. Be decisive in your oversight. There's a lion out there, and you need to make some decisions about your flock. There is definite purpose in your oversight. The decisions that are made are always aimed at the good of the flock. One of the things that, by taking the oversight thereof, that we need to realize is leadership. Is that we need to make tough calls. Tough calls. We need to say yes or no. And ultimately, I often explain it this way. On the way home from church, just a simple illustration. On the way home from church, you're driving the van, and your 14-year-old daughter will lean forward and say, can I wear shoes like so-and-so? No. You'd say, no, we're not going to wear shoes like so-and-so. That's such and such a family. Why not? Everybody else is doing it. Well, I'll just tell you at that very moment, you let an impression if you waffle on your answer. You can say, Mom and I will talk about it. Or you can say, no, we're not wearing those shoes or that sweater. Or your daughter comes down the upstairs and has a dress on that's way bigger print than what's prescribed and what's allowed. You have a decision, brethren. You need to make a tough call. Either back up the steps and change your dress before we go to church, or you can allow it. You set and establish a pattern when you do that. Handle your oversight wisely. Number six, be reasonable. Be a mediator. Realize, all leaders need to realize this, that there probably is another way. Often there is another way. Allow time and opportunity to weigh alternatives. There's a lot of decisions you need to make that aren't a crisis. We need to consider others' opinion. Be aware of the value of the resource of the flock. Consult. Talk to your helpmate. Talk to your fellows. But be reasonable in your decisions. For many years, I was under Brother Harry Neuenswander as a leader. I probably was under him all my life, really. I mean, ever since I was about 20. And one thing about Harry is that he was always reasonable. There was never a time that he wasn't reasonable that I don't remember. But you need to be reasonable, but you need to take into consideration, you need to make a decision as a leader. Between procrastination in the flock and rebellion, you know, that's a tough call. I had to make that call a number of times. Is this person really just procrastinating and putting it off and so busy that he can't get it done? Or is it actually rebellion? It is your responsibility to make the decision. Be reasonable. You are not resistant to a better way or information that you didn't have before. Seventhly, be a role model. Verse 3 talks about being examples to the flock. The best teaching, the best ideas in the world are meaningless and invaluable unless the flock can see the leader living it out. Be reasonable. Lead out by example. Lead out by example. Eighthly, be an optimist. Be an optimist. Be optimistic about the outcome and the future. I've been farming all my life, and I know some very successful farmers that are pessimists. And they're all the time talking about the prices are low. It's so much work to get the chores done on Sunday. You know, we have so much work to do, we can't take vacations like other people. They're pessimistic. And you know what? Their children don't follow them. They don't want to farm. It's going to be the same way. If you're a leader in the church, you're a leader in the home. If you have a pessimistic outlook, your children will not want to follow you. Maybe the preacher said something that was questionable, whether he should have said it or not. And you're discussing this comment on the way home from church, you can say, you know, he was really off his rocker. He just didn't understand. Or you can say, maybe I didn't understand, but I'm sure he had the best in mind for the flock. And it'll turn your child's view of the preacher, of the leader, do a complete 180. So being optimistic about the Christian life, we have a great future. We do. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Leadership that leads out, feeds the flock, are going to use the principle in verse 7. They're going to cast all their care upon him, for he careth for you. And it'll have the effect of making you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you. Brothers and sisters, tonight, where will your flock be? Like the songwriter says, in a million years from now. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. A million years from now, where will you be, and where will your flock be? Leadership that brings stability is vitally important for conservative church life. It's very important for stable church life. It's very important for spiritual church life. May God help us to be leaders that helps bring stability to our church. Let's pray.